Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Welcome, everybody, back to the Synergy Connection Show. Today's guest is Chris Gibson, and our topic is going to be marketing anything successfully. So that's a rather broad topic that we're going to be looking at, but we market ourselves, we market restaurants that we like, we market books, we market television shows. I mean, we market almost everything every day of our lives, as far as I can see. But sometimes you want to hire somebody to market professionally for your activities or your business. Before we begin, however, I want to remind you to check out the Boomers link on my website, synergyconnectionradio.com. And the reason I keep promoting this, not only do they promote me, but also wellness is at the foundation of your life. And without your health, it's pretty hard to link the other dots in terms of your emotional wellness, your spiritual wellness, or your mental wellness. You have to have your health at that foundation. So if you would, go click on the Boomer link on my website. They have a very extensive product line. And I think you'll find that there's probably information there that you had no idea about in terms of staying healthy. So please check it out. And if you decide to purchase anything, if you just enter my name, Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, you'll get $5 off of your order. So back to Chris and, marketing ourselves, marketing products, marketing services. Where do you want to begin with that one?
Well, marketing is a really kind of a catchphrase. It's like you said, it's a large, it really encompasses everything. It's really communication. And mm-hmm. It's been going on since we were trading twigs and rocks for things.
I have a better one than you do.
So marketing, it is really about communication, and things have really evolved over the last, things are always evolving, but over the last, 10 or so years, we've seen, we'll go 15 years. Mm-hmm. So we'll go back far enough that Amazon really became a strong player through its marketing program for books. It really changed the book industry, which is where I help a lot of clients out. And I had a book out, as you know, that was a bestseller before all of that. So right at the beginning of all of that, and then taking the book upwards from a ebook to a paperback to a hardcover, which is backwards, and then putting it into Amazon and learning from them what was working in the digital side because it was new. Uh-huh. So now we've evolved forward to where everything is so visual to people because everybody has smartphones, computers, they watch video all the time. TV sort of like, oh, that's TV. who watches TV anymore? So the change in that would tell you that marketing is more important in that it's a visual thing for people, but it's the communication factor that makes the difference. It's what you communicate, because not all marketing works. We see movies that come out that do really, really well. Mm-hmm. Then we see movies that come out that don't do well at all, even though they've had a lot more marketing. So the message might have been off. So it's really in the message. I always like to use the example of parents and children. Mm-hmm. Children are always marketing to their parents, and it's interesting to look at how children are affected by advertising because they're so focused. They're able to focus in. And as adults, we're sort of got 50 million things going on at once. It's mm-hmm. a lot of noise. That's what we call in the industry. You have to kind of rise above the noise. Mm-hmm. Well, parents will tell you it's the opposite experience for them with their children is they feel like they're the noise. they have to get the children to pay attention to them.
Right.
And so it's the reverse. So the thing to keep in mind is that you want marketing to be effective. It's not cheap. It's never been cheap. but you want it to be effective and people will know. I mean, we're all, you have to, I always like to put myself in the shoes of whatever the person is I'm marketing to or I'm helping a client market to, because if you don't understand what you're trying to sell or you don't understand what you're trying to convey, they're not going to get it either.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a real, it's a really, really important exchange that has to happen there.
So the message basically is what's so important, is what kind of message are you trying to get across? And then you have to figure out the bells and the whistles that will make somebody pay attention to
the message. Right, because of the noise.
Yeah.
And the noise is even, I'll take it a step further. The noise, and we've talked about, you and I have talked about this before, is the clickbaitiness, is what we call it, the trickiness of headlines today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there's so much competition to get attention in that noise. A lot of times we will have articles or even advertisements that start off in a certain way to get your attention, and then they have nothing to do with what the title was that you went in to read. And it's very annoying, and it can turn a customer off.
Right.
And so,
if can you think of an example that the listeners might actually relate to? You know, how that has happened?
Any news organization today is going to throw out a hook. They call it a hook headline.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all get spam.
Right.
And I don't want to name any companies per se, but everybody can probably think, if they take a minute, of an email they've received or an email advertisement
mm-hmm.
that had a certain headline
that made you open it.
Yeah, that said, I do think of one. The Betty White one, where it was about dyeing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Betty White dies in Beverly Hills. And it was dies as D-Y-E, dyes your hair. So, of course, people saw that and they went, Oh my gosh, Betty White died. I can't believe it. The last Golden Girl, you know, it got a lot of traffic. But when you went in there, it was about a hair dye product.
Ah, okay.
That's right. A clickbait
okay.
type of title. So they got away with that. I'm sure they sold a lot of product, but there's probably a lot of people that are like, wow, look at what I'm, before I open it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're going to use that type of approach, and sometimes it's necessary in order to get seen through the noise.
Mm-hmm.
I instruct a lot of my clients who do email marketing, and I do a lot of email marketing, that if you're going to use something, try to make it relatable, and then make sure that you talk about that piece. And now that I've got your attention,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to get someone's attention. Like if I really need to get the attention of people in my skincare company
mm-hmm.
line,
mm-hmm.
I may send out an email that says an update to your account. Because
okay.
people go, oh, what is this about my account? And it's order to let them know it is about their account, because now they have this available, that available. Here are several products, and here's a discount that's only available to you as a former client.
Mm-hmm.
So I may use that's a clickbaity way to get people
mm-hmm.
to open it
mm-hmm.
and get it seen.
But
they're not
going to
be angry.
Right.
Because right off the bat I said, you know, now that I have your attention,
mm-hmm.
these are the real updates to your account. These are the things available to you. So that's okay. What's not okay is, say, you're selling something, a widget, and you go, a problem with your account. Okay.
Right.
So a person's going in there thinking, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with my account, or something, your credit card didn't work, or, you know, something like that. And then it's just to sell something, you're going to tick a lot of people off. That would tick me off.
Right.
So people are fairly reasonable with the clickbaity, that they know that. But it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
But we really, that is so prevalent right now everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even that's starting to become where people are tuning it out. So
mm-hmm.
something will evolve. Someone will come up with some other way of getting people's attention.
You know, one of the things that happened with me, and I'm not sure that it's clickbait, but I think it might be, on Facebook, there are a lot of companies that are not who they seem that they are.
Oh yeah.
And so you see something that you like, a quilt, you know, that's being made, that looks amazing, or maybe it's a fashion garment of some sort that looks amazing. And when you click on it, everything looks like, wow, this is so special. But it's made in Bangladesh or someplace where the sizes. And so I've been telling people, please go look at the reviews. And
yeah.
not all of the reviews are even honest, because they get people to, you know,
yeah,
throw reviews.
And
in
you kind of get a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people to go, that's why, you know, I work with a lot of authors, and its reviews are very important. It's an algorithm in the Barnes & Noble website. It's an algorithm certainly at Amazon. The more reviews you have and the higher rated they are overall, the better your book is going to place. The more they're going to rank it, the higher. The problem with that is, and Amazon's pretty good at filtering those out. They've got a lot of things in their algorithm to catch that kind of thing. You don't want to have all five-star reviews because it looks wonky. So, you know, and I have clients who will get that four-star review and they just freak out. Oh, Chris, I got a bad review. And I'm like, that happens. So calm down. Let's go look at it. And it'll be a four-star review. You know, that somebody wished the character had done this or done that. And they're like, what can I do to get rid of it? Should I respond to that? I'm like, absolutely not. Because, again, put yourself in the shoes of the person looking at that. They're going to look at the reviews. They're going to read that and take it at face value. Well,
not everybody will like
it. Now, a review that said, if you see a bunch of reviews where people have ordered product and not received it, or the customer service was lackluster in handling, you know, they got 100 reviews and they have one review like that. I think people are really good at weighing that. I do that. That doesn't keep me from buying. But if I go in and I see a slew of bad reviews,
right?
Especially if they're newer. Now, if they had a period where this, if I scroll down that far and they had a period where they were, you know, they were having a problem, and then I, you know, the last 15 or 20 reviews that hasn't been an issue, they might have run out of stock. You never know, because the problem with reviews for the business person or for you if you're a marketer is that you need them. But you don't want to finagle them. And bad reviews can really put you off in your business. So it's a fine line in managing that. If you're a person buying something, I mean, it's one of the things you obviously want to look at is the overall rating that they have. So if a company's done a really good job and they have 200 or 300 reviews and they have this spate of reviews about, you know, product didn't arrive on time or something, clearly had a problem with their overall ranking is a 4 or 5, you're probably all right, you know. Excuse me. The thing that gets me is when they don't respond. I get products don't get people's. We have porch pirates. We have all that stuff today. So I get that that happens, and sometimes the company gets blamed. But if they're not responsive, that worries me when I read that one.
Just ignored.
Yeah. So if you own a business and you're marketing, be sure you got somebody that's going to respond. But I gotta try to respond. Even this is not even customer service. It's just chats that come in on my platform, I try to respond the same day if I can. And when we get to a point that you can't, then you need to hire somebody.
Right.
Communication is, again, it's back to communication. Communication is marketing. That's all it really is. And communicating effectively. There's things that old school elevator speeches, which is kind of old school. But you want to be able to constantly and completely and consistently convey your brand message in your marketing so that it's understandable and people recognize it. Because word of mouth is the best marketing there still is. And that's what you're going for. You're not going to build your business through your reviews. You're not going to build your business through having great customer service. What you're going to build your business through is people going out and talking about how your company helped them, handled them, responds to them. You know, those things are, that's your marketing right there.
Last week, I had somebody that you know on, Jim Lee, who wrote the book Palmetto Sunrise.
Right.
And, you know, so for an author who is marketing, it's going to be slightly different than for somebody that's marketing a widget.
Right.
Or a service.
Right.
So let's look at just books for 1 second. And for the authors out there, because I know there's a lot of people that believe in their heart of hearts that they have that book that is going to be amazing that they need to write. But for that author, what are the basic marketing things that they need to be looking at?
Definitely first understanding who their reader is. Authors, because they're not typically marketing people, don't usually have their head around their avatar, which is the person that's going to respond to your story.
Right.
They just don't know how to do that or diagram that out. And it's so important to understand that, because in books, people buy books because they either want to be educated, entertained, mm-hmm. or they're making some big change.
Like your book was more the big change, right?
Yeah, acne free in 3 days. And right. so I knew that because I was my own avatar,
right.
I had it easy.
Right.
Not on purpose. I didn't even know when I did it that I had been writing business books and how to market. This is in the mid-2000s, and so it was after the dot-com thing, and I was teaching people how to market online. So most of my material was like that. Someone convinced me, because I knew so much about holistic health, and it had skin, and my, you know, I looked good for my age at the time. And
oh, you still do. You still do.
That I write on that subject. Mm-hmm. So we did, and we wrote on that subject, but I wrote it from the perspective of having gone through it. So, and those books a lot of times do very, very well, you know, over stories that people write about their experience often sell very well because people can
relate,
get their head into that.
Right.
So it did very, very well, and I learned some things from it. You know, we named it Acne Free in 3 Days, which was not a tricky title to get you to buy it. It was what happened to me, and the story mm-hmm. was that I'd struggled with skincare problems, spent a lot of money, my parents did, and I had it still in my mid-20s. I wanted to be on TV as a broadcaster, and they were giving me a lot of pushback back then about you gotta have clear skin, you can't be all broken out on TV, and so what I went through, and now I discovered a way to clear it up mm-hmm. that was non-medical, and it went away in 3 days. So the story was what I did.
Mm-hmm. And that book is still available.
Book still sells. So I learned from that. I learned that your title has to convey something, that mm-hmm. you have to understand who your reader is. And clearly I did. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was this narrow market of people. And I didn't realize, because this is the mid, you know, this happened to me through the 80s and into the early 90s. We didn't have the internet. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that. I didn't know what the market was out there.
And even when we had,
we didn't really have social media. Then right. Facebook was just brand new when right. my book came out. We didn't right. even use Facebook for that stuff.
Right.
YouTube had just gotten started, all this stuff in the early 2000s. So here I was thinking this is a little problem, mm-hmm. and it was a huge problem. Mm-hmm. And the internet and television was at a point there where your message could get out to the world at large, which was the biggest benefit back then, and sort of my message got out, and there were a lot of people in a lot of countries that didn't have access to a lot of things, and so the book took off. So from that we learned something, and I learned how those things. Now I knew some of this from my marketing background in my previous life with the phone company, because that's how I came up. So I wrote scripts, and there was a lot of market research done back in the 80s and 90s that I was a part of, so I knew those pieces just intuitively. Mm-hmm. But for authors write for two reasons. And usually the first book is they're writing it for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they're channeling out whatever the story is for them. It's really to get that out of them into a book. That's usually where they are. The subsequent books are usually for their readers that they've discovered that like that, the audience. Mm-hmm. If you're an author who is just starting a book, but you're really trying to put it out to other people, then you really have to do that research before you release your book, because you have to get it right in the front of the right audience. On Amazon, there are tons of categories, subcategories. Keywords are important now, that people are what they're looking for. I spend a lot of time doing that work for folks.
Explain. I'm going to ask you to explain, because again, keywords to people that are listening, right. they may not have a clue as to what that is.
And it is really simple. When you go to search for something, mm-hmm. say you have a headache, and aspirin doesn't work for you anymore. A keyword phrase would be best medicine for a headache, best new medicine for a headache. Mm-hmm. That's keywords. Mm-hmm. So you put those in your book description, you put those in the placement on your account where it asks for keywords. And so when people go and type in that phrase or word, your book is more likely to come up.
Right.
Now there's some other things around that. You need to usually do some advertising. You need to like push it and spend a little money. But if you don't have that right, mm-hmm. it's not even going to be found. It's like going in the library and looking for a cookbook in world history.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to. Well, yeah, I don't know. Some bookstores, it might be there because the people never put things back to where they belong. But in general, you get the mm-hmm. idea. It's mm-hmm. So digitally, it's very important that those things, we call it SEO or search engine optimization, are done correctly. So, but before you can do that, you need to know who your reader is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote a book on acne. Had I used a keyword back then that was skincare routine, I would not have had the same amount of success. But because it was a book on acne, so the keyword was acne, how to clear up acne, cystic acne, adult acne. Do you see what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whereas skincare routine is larger.
Yes.
So it needs to be a later keyword, or you can use it later after you've built up some audience.
Right.
So, and then the other piece of marketing for authors is to listen to what their readers say. And that means being available to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that you're going to put a book out and watch TV and it's going to do its thing out here and you're never going to have to answer a question or any stuff, and you want it to be successful, doesn't work.
No. Now, years ago, if Random House, mm-hmm. Let's say, decided that you were going to be one of their authors, then they would promote you. They would go out and do all the marketing, and mm-hmm. all you had to do was show up.
Yeah, you had to show up.
Yeah. Today, it doesn't make any difference if you have a publisher that has said, I would like to publish your book. You are the one that's going to have to do the foot traffic and be out there marketing it.
Exactly. You know, you can look at some of the largest authors that are today, like J.K. Rowling, which I like her story because she struggled
mm-hmm.
to get the story out and nobody wanted it.
Right. I think she was refused something like 114 times.
Refused. They weren't willing to do anything. You know, they weren't looking at a series. The first mm-hmm. book wasn't a New York Times bestseller. It didn't. People go, yes, it was. No, it wasn't. It did become one later, but no, it mm-hmm. wasn't. When the mm-hmm. whole series, you know, the next one was.
Mm-hmm.
But she had to really, really market her book.
How do you think she knew how to do that? Because my understanding is that she wrote these on yellow legal pads in coffee houses while her kids were in school. So how did she understand?
Well, she got the book put together, she got it published as people do, almost as a self-published book, and then mm-hmm. you've got to market it to mm-hmm. You send out a book proposal and all that stuff that goes with it, and nobody thought anybody would want that. So I am sure, without speaking to her, that as with all of us, as you get, if you really believe in something and you stick with it, each rejection, each turn on the road brings you closer to where you need to be. You learn mm-hmm. something from it.
Going through the maze.
So I'm sure that she learned, you know, she got feedback, what they liked, what they didn't like. So she learned probably how to create a book proposal based on the pieces that she kept getting back that people did like about
mm-hmm.
the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she persevered. Now, my book was sort of like that, but we self-published and put it out as an ebook, and at the time it was ClickBank was the big platform, it still is a big platform, and it sold well there, and we took that money and turned it into a paperback, so we sort of worked our way up the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had no to TV, no to Walmart, no to, and you say 100, so you say 101 times. It's funny because my business partner, who kept calling the book buyers, because back then you had to call book buyers. We were through Baker & Taylor, which is not around. Well, they're around, but they don't do books anymore. Or Ingram, which is a big distributors.
Right.
Basically, we had all that done, and we were calling the buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, no, no, no. No,
and what was their reason?
Whatever reason. Yeah, whatever.
So you weren't a PhD. You weren't an MD.
Yeah, nobody's going to want a book like that by someone who's not a doctor. Blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So it's really weird because that kept going on. And unrelated, in the same month, I ended up getting on television with the book. And this is part of marketing's persevering.
Mm-hmm.
He was still calling, and I think he said it was the 95th or 6th time that he got a buyer who picked it up and said, oh, this is a really nice book. It doesn't even look like a health book. It looks like a John C. Maxwell leadership book, because it does. It looks mm-hmm. very much like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at it. She goes, I tell you what I'll do. We'll put it in the region, Southeast region, in the stores. We'll put copies in the stores. And it was 900 copies of books we had to come up with. That's the other thing in marketing. You got to be prepared for when the thing does roll over. So we had to get 900 copies of books to Baker and Taylor, and they put them out, and they started doing well. And at the same time, I had just gotten on television. So now I was able to use that first TV appearance in Canada to convince the TV people in the United States that I gave a great interview and a great demonstration.
Okay.
So right off the bat, we got very strategic and said, okay, the books are in the stores. Instead of sending people to a website when I'm on TV, I'm going to send them into the store to ask for the book. Mm-hmm. I'm giving away a big secret here. Everybody write this down. So because people were going in the bookstores and requesting the book, well, Barnes & Noble doesn't like to pay full price for a book at wholesale at Baker & Taylor. So they ordered like thousands of books.
Ah.
And then they went across the country, and that's how that happened. So, you know, if you're in a place where you're sending people, you want to send them to the bookstore.
To the bookstore, right.
Because the more requests a bookstore gets for a book, that buyer, they look at the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we sold 90, 100, 200 books in this 2 or 3, 4 or 5 stores,
mm-hmm.
and we paid $11.99 for them, we don't want to pay $11.99 for them. We want to pay like $2, $3 for them.
Right.
So, and know that you're not going to make a lot of money off a book sold in a bookstore. It's pennies. Mm-hmm. But it's all volume based. Right. But if that's your goal, to go in the bookstore, and it is nice to do, mm-hmm. and see your book sitting there on sale,
mm-hmm.
in a Barnes & Noble, it's kind of heady stuff.
Right, right.
But then you got to send people into the bookstore. So you have to be really strategic. Again, that's marketing right away all over again, because you've got to look at where your audience is and where your book is going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Cookbooks. Talk to places that sell cookbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurants that have that little section at the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have someone marketing for you, you can go to Fiverr and get a marketing person for a few dollars an hour and give them direction on what you want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would be really lack if we didn't talk about social media and the big piece of marketing it plays now.
It's huge today.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Because it's word of mouth.
It's word of mouth. You know, right now, because it's, you know, the holidays, you have these, like through Messenger, you have these little gifts that people, you know, click on and send to you, send one back to me. I mean, that's all, again, marketing. It's like saying to somebody, hey, I saw this, I care about you, I'm sending it back to you.
Yeah, and know that with every click and every choice and every Google search and everything you look at, you're teaching those companies
what you like.
What you like.
Yes, exactly.
which is retargeting, which is such a big part. So I always explain this. If you go and you look up, let's go back to the, I have a headache and I need medicine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you choose Aleve.
Mm-hmm.
And you never looked at Aleve before. Suddenly Aleve ads are everywhere.
Everywhere.
They're in your... and your phone, they're on your browser, and it's not your reticular part of your brain. Like when you buy one car, you suddenly see it everywhere.
Right.
They're
picking up that that's what you want.
Yeah. So you're seeing that on purpose. It's being mm-hmm. replaced in front of you many, many times.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that if I click on something with, an SUV, you know, that I'm thinking about,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, almost every time that I get on the computer, it's got an ad for an SUV.
Yeah, exactly. So what you want to do, and book, widget, whatever, skincare company, it's the same thing I do, is you mm-hmm. want to test. And you want to watch what posts that you put out on social media that people respond to, what images they respond to, and look at where you get the most likes, the most shares. You want to look at where your sales come from, that do even in street sales. Like what conversation, when you were having the conversation with a person that wanted your book, what was the conversation? You can take that conversation and turn that into an ad. So it's all around you how to do it. It's just people don't think to like pay attention.
Well, I was going to say the key there is going to be listening.
Yeah.
You know, because most people don't know how to listen. They know how to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how to do a lot of other things with their mouth. But in terms of the two ears, I always remember the expression that God gave us two ears so that we would listen twice as much as we talk.
Yeah,
but most people don't really understand that concept of listening. because what they're doing is they're hearing words and they're trying to figure out how to respond, right, as opposed to listening to understand.
Right, exactly. And so if you're going to sell something, you got to know what your avatar is, you got to know what your message is, and be clear about it, okay, and consistent with it.
All right, now I want you to talk for a second. Again, some listeners may not have a clue as to what their avatar is. So how would you explain discovering who your avatar is?
It's really easy.
Okay.
It's the people who are interested in your book,
okay,
or your story.
Okay.
So if, say, you write a children's book. We were just talking about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption is, obviously, that children are going to like the book and want it, and parents are going to buy it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But then you may find that in your audience, there is a group of people, maybe it's single moms, maybe it's grandparents, that that are buying the book. You're like, that's weird. I wonder why they're buying the book. So you may have the main avatar, which is your person that's reading your book.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they look like, you know, what their interests are, you know, like, clearly parents that buy books for their children are interested in education of their children,
mm-hmm,
vocabulary, reading skills.
Mm-hmm.
Parents just don't do that to sit by the fireside and kill some time. There's right. usually a mindset behind a children's book that there's some sort of lesson or some sort of message that's going to be conveyed.
Right.
So that's a different kind of parent,
mm-hmm,
to market to than the one that's too busy to do all of that stuff. So we don't want to market to parents at large. We want a message to the parent. Is the message might be, give your children 3 great life lessons in 1 short story.
Mm-hmm.
That's a marketer in me coming out.
Right, right.
In 1 short story.
Right.
You know, whatever the subject may be, versus this is a great children's book, or this children's book teaches a lot of life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not nearly as targeted.
Right.
You know, you're targeting that avatar. That's the person who you want to buy your book.
I know when when I was getting ready to put mine out in 2012, 2013, I actually was in the schools, you know, with my ebook. And that's the one that's going to come out as a regular book now, as a second edition. But when I was in the schools, I would go and sit on the floor, you know, the big beanbag pillows with the kids all around me. And I would read maybe 10 pages. I would always stop at a point where I wanted to leave them hanging. And then when I would come back in the next week, I would say, well, where did we leave off? Because I wanted to see, were they listening?
Mm-hmm.
And all the hands shot up. They knew exactly where we left off. And if you ask leading questions, like, what do you think is going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do you think they're going to go with this story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would get them engaged in the story. And so, you know, I think a lot of authors know how to do that. Dan Brown does it amazingly well. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the whole cadence of telling a story, too, so that it's not just words, but there's a rhythm to each chapter.
Right.
So you want to turn the pages. You want to see what's going to happen next. And that's marketing too.
Yeah,
you know, that's a different kind of marketing.
Yeah, your book is basically the marketing of your story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a structure. And you may put out a book and you may do all the right things that someone else did and your book just doesn't take off for whatever reason. And you need to be willing to look at that and then make some changes to the story, because
mm-hmm.
rarely is the first book, not always, I mean, the percentage of books that go big that we hear about is fractionally so small
it
to
is.
All the books that are written.
Well,
so,
you go into Barnes and Noble and just look at all the ones that are on
it's
sale.
Like, it's like, it's a talent like anything else. It's like singers.
Mm-hmm.
We have singers. I always like this thing about how people can be persistent and get their dream even when they're not as talented as maybe someone else,
mm-hmm.
or the story isn't as good as someone else, or the cover isn't as good as someone else's, and people get so agitated and annoyed. And it's funny because you go out and you may be in a restaurant or a bar or a concert, and the person is, you're like, why is this person not on the radio? You know, why
mm-hmm.
are they not?
Mm-hmm.
When we have people, and I won't name names, that really can't sing, that have number one hits.
Right.
So the difference is persistence.
And marketing.
And living their passion,
mm-hmm.
because that's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So their energy spiritually is set that
mm-hmm.
it comes or it doesn't come, I'm doing it. I'm in my element. Right. And then, of course, marketing.
Well, you know, one of the big keys, and we'll go with musicians. I mean, a lot of them are on the road for a long time, but that is so expensive because if they don't live on their bus, they have the overhead of meals, where they're going to stay.
Well, and like books, CDs, they don't make much per CD.
No.
All the people that people think are, that they hear these huge, ridiculous numbers, either are getting it through rights and distribution, that they got part of that piece, or concerts.
Yes. And that's why they stay on the road so much.
Yeah. Exactly what you said, because the money they make per CD is like the money we make per book.
Right.
You know, and that's another thing you need to think about with books and marketing is you've got to have a budget.
Mm-hmm. And stick to your budget.
I don't know how many people come to me and say, I want to market my book. And I'm like, well, you're going to need X amount of dollars to do it because you cannot market something without visibility.
Right.
And there's only so many free things I can do for you. You could do these for yourself without paying me. Mm-hmm. So really, if you're going to do the free things, you really should just do those yourself. But you have to get the book out there. And I can remember when the book was doing well on its own. We had TV and all this stuff. We were still spending $10,000 a month at Google on Google ads for that book.
Wow. That is a ton.
But we were making, you know, lots of money. mm-hmm. But, you know, we were spending, that was our marketing, just for Google.
So if you have it, it's okay to spend it.
Yeah, I would never tell a person to spend money they don't have, but you need to understand your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes I tell clients, there's no hurry in putting your book out. Putting your book out tomorrow and not putting it out correctly is not going to make it a bestseller.
Right.
It's not going to accidentally happen. This isn't a slot machine.
Right.
You know, you need to build your budget for marketing. Put $1,000 aside at least so that you can do some things.
Uh-huh.
Because you got to test ads. And, you know, there's a book out right now. I think I've mentioned this before with you. It's 1 million followers in a month.
Yes.
Followers in a month. Brendan. Yeah. It's Brendan something. I can't think of his last name. I'm sorry. But anyway, I got that book because I was intrigued by the title. It's kind of clickbaity.
Mm-hmm.
But he really did do this, and he does it for celebrities, and he does it for social influencers, and he wrote a book on it, and it's one of those books where there's a lot of good information in it, and I tested it. And it's the same thing. You've got to put the gas in the engine and keep it going.
Right.
And, you know, when I first started the first round of the books, I was reluctant to put a lot of money in there. I had bills to pay. I had all that stuff to do just like everybody else does. And I didn't. Now, I've started a new skincare company and marketing stays on if something else doesn't. You know what I mean? The marketing stays on because if you're not in front of people, they can't find you.
They can't find you. You're right.
And if they can't find you,
mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think is going to drop out the sky? It's like, you know, your audience is going to drop in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to work what you do have.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with where you are with what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And then you educate the people around you to help you.
You know, even if you have a website, which you do, I do, people have to find the website.
Yeah, people have to find the website. The website has to speak to them. It has to be easy to navigate. It's a struggle. I'm going through that now. I'm always updating and changing. Go back and look at my welcome series of emails that go out. You know, I don't know how many authors I know don't even have an email list. I'm like, why would you do that? You know, even if it's 10, 15 people, when you release your next book, that's 10 or 15 people are going to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a building process.
Well, and it is a ripple effect. You know, I try to explain that to people is that, you know, if 10 or 15 are your friends, they're going to tell their friends who then will
and it's
tell
okay
their
to
friends.
Ask them. I always use this term and I've used it for years. You have to be a shameless self-promoter of your own book. Talk about it. We carry skincare cards everywhere we go. Because people invariably, I don't lead the conversations that way, but invariably somehow the universe leads the conversation that way. And, oh, well, here's my card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with my YouTube channel. It's grown so much because of word of mouth.
It's the walk and talk principle.
Yeah. So what do you do? I'm a YouTube creator. YouTube creator. I don't go on and I like talk about skincare. I do videos on skincare.
Yeah, right.
But because people, what do they think? I say, I'm a YouTube creator. That's what I do. They go, are you one of those people that make millions of dollars a year on YouTube? So I got their attention. Very clickbaity, right?
Yes, you did.
No. I don't make millions of dollars on YouTube. But I have a really good YouTube channel, and it helps people with skin problems and all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And you should check it out. Oh, my son has that problem. Or I have a friend who's I have a friend who is going through a divorce or just had a baby or whatever, that has adult acne and doesn't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. I want you to share a little bit, because you and I talked about this, and I think it's a new avenue for you. And I think it's something that the two that I saw were just amazing. Mm-hmm. But these short little videos that you're beginning to create for people that want to market through a video.
Yeah.
So this is your YouTube, you know, creation, right?
Yes.
So how does that work for somebody? I mean, if you create a video for them, and let's say their product is skincare, or maybe their product is a book, or maybe their product is a service, how does that, once you create it, work for them? Because I think that listeners might want to jump on that and get hold of you and say, can you make me a video?
Yeah, the book trailer video has really evolved. And back in the day, the book trailer was, you know, here's my book, or you might, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the media's definition of a trailer.
Well, just like,
which is a
movies.
Sizzle reel.
Well, isn't it like a movie trailer?
Yeah. I basically make a sizzle reel for a book, mm-hmm. which is a movie trailer,
mm-hmm.
with music and imagery that tells mm-hmm. a story. It builds the suspense. If it's a suspense novel, you mm-hmm. saw that one. If it's a self-help, mm-hmm. I list out the problems, and then the book is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So very short, 1 to 2 minutes, because people's attention span on videos like that is very short.
Yeah.
It's just like TV commercials.
Right.
And what it does is it moves people emotionally,
mm-hmm.
because that has not changed in marketing.
Have you seen the new one for that has E.T. in it and Elliot?
Yes.
People freaked
out.
Yes, it grabbed everybody.
Right. And it's a short.
Uh-huh.
So basically it's a commercial for your book, and you can use it as an ad. You can put it on your website. You can put the link. You can go up on YouTube. It doesn't cost any money. You can load that file. You don't have to do a big channel or anything. Just mm-hmm. have a YouTube account.
Mm-hmm.
You can give that link to everybody and they play it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has what we call a call to action at the end.
Which would be?
Would be to buy the book, or go to it at Amazon, or sign up for my newsletter, or whatever it is.
So what if it's not a book? What if it's a service? Can you do the same thing?
You could do the same thing.
And the call to action would be, find me at this address.
Exactly. I'm doing that for the skincare.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing my story, my acne story.
Because I could see a restaurant. I could see all kinds of people wanting to use this.
And the thing is, the cost of advertising that on Google is so low compared to like running an AdWords account, where it's a link that people are searching for.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, a, you know, you Google it, there's a sponsored ad. Those things are really expensive, $2-3 a click.
Wow.
So you have to really have something that converts to be able to even afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on Facebook and on YouTube or Google Ads, you can run video ads at just ridiculously low cost, cents a click. And that gives you enough volume and traffic, and you've moved the person emotionally. I mean, mm-hmm. it's so funny, because the first one I did, I have people that look at the stuff that I do and catch anything that I missed. And to make sure that it tells the story, to make sure that, you know, I don't tell them what to, I just say, watch this. Give me feedback.
Right, right.
So when the two you saw both had really good feedback, the testers bought the books. And I'm like, well, you don't have to buy the book.
But they wanted
I was so intrigued by...
Right, they wanted to.
I wanted to, because the first one's a really big one. It's change your life. It's that time of year.
Uh-huh.
I want to change my weight. I want to change my energy. It's an energy basic book
uh-huh.
on self-healing and, you know,
uh-huh.
changing your vibration, you know, law of attraction.
Right.
So it's very much like the law of attraction stuff we've seen, like with The Secret. It's like, it shows a carousel of people with different problems that they're going through, and there's no voice. It's all text and music,
mm-hmm.
and they flow one into the other. This problem, relationship problem, money problem, You know, it builds, the music builds, and then the solution starts to come.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you need to do to change this. And then it shows the change is made with people, where
and
the abundance
they,
is there.
Right,
and the music crescendos as the people walk into, he's carrying his wife into the new house and spinning around. The music's it moves everybody emotionally. I get chills when I talk about that, because that one just is worked out so well. So what it does is it makes a person want to buy the book because they want to feel
what they're seeing
that way.
Right, right.
If that book can help them feel
mm-hmm.
better,
mm-hmm.
there you have it.
Right.
And nothing does that better in today's world than visuals.
Right.
Because we are now a visual society.
Right.
All over the world. It's not just right. America. It's everywhere.
Right.
So video is the leading edge, which is my, I don't know if I even told you this, my new website that's going to be going up for this specifically is Leading Edge Book Trailers.
No, you didn't say that. Well,
Leading Edge Book Trailers.
There you go.
Don't go there yet. It's not a website yet. But we'll give you some information on how to get a hold of me.
Okay.
But that's what it's going to be. And it's going to be just dedicated to taking a book and bringing it to life.
Which, you know, grandparents, aunts, uncles, moms, dads, you know, for children in particular, they had to bring the book to life. They had to become the
yeah.
character, which is exactly why kids would say, read it again.
Yeah.
Tell me the story again.
Oh, yeah,
For adults, you know, they, I would say most people are totally engaged in the book once.
Yeah.
But it's never this again and again and again, unless it's a story that just speaks to them personally.
Right. And let me tell you what a book trailer does. It crosses all genders, it crosses all, you know, monetary backgrounds. It's like a movie trailer. It crosses
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't have to read reviews. You are telling people, you are introducing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, the two that I saw, you know, and one of them is the one you talked about with
the dragon.
The dragon, yeah. And just
now everybody wants to go see the one with the dragon.
But even the second one, when you finished the video, I was like, wow, I want to read that book because it spoke to you. And sometimes when you're picking up a book at a Barnes & Noble or even at the library, the book doesn't necessarily speak to you from the jacket
exactly.
of the book, but something that's a video with music. Music touches your heart.
Yeah, it moves you emotionally.
And it does. And so, you know, as you're listening to the music, it's moving into that, what I call the heart chakra, but it's
yeah.
moving into that as it's resonating with you.
And I got to tell you, you know, it's a little bit selfish. We have to stop time. Good. A little bit selfish of me with this. One of the things that I enjoy doing them, and I'm going to do as many as I can for as long as I can, but I don't know how many that is that I get moved
mm-hmm.
putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get excited about the story for the book. Because, and then, you know, I'm always sending it to the client.
Real.
I send the email to the client, here's the link, and I'm like, I cross my fingers and close my eyes and go. And the first one I sent out, I didn't hear from her for like 2 days. I went, oh God, I thought it was amazing. She's going to, that's a stink. But I could see on my YouTube channel, because that's where I put them,
mm-hmm.
They're unpublished, so no one else can see them but the author and whoever they give the link to. I could see all these views. I thought, well, they must really hate it, because there's like 30 views on this thing, and they have not contacted me. So we finally had a meeting, and they're like, we didn't know what to say. We were just blown away.
Wow.
Just blown away. And then the second one I did for the guy with his murder mystery.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's in Africa, and it's diamond mines and
right.
smuggling. I thought, how the hell? I'm going from self-help to that. And so I was able to put together this story and
uh-huh.
in the visuals
mm-hmm.
and create that imagery. And then at the end, you don't know what happens, and there's this ticking clock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's an alarm clock that's ticking, with bells on each side, and a big sledgehammer comes down in slow motion and smashes the clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the couple, though, still alive and walking off into the sunset. So what happened?
What happened?
And that's
right.
sort of what
right.
I do with the trailer. So right. the trailer allows you to do what the movie people have been doing to us for years.
Right.
You know, the trick is, I make sure that the trailer is what the book is.
Right.
Yeah, movie trailers, sometimes you watch the trailer, you go to the movie and go, well, that's not at all what I thought was going to But in this movie.
Do you know that just happened to me watching.
It stinks, doesn't it, when you do
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I went with a friend to see the Mr. Rogers movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether you've talked to anybody uh-huh. who's seen it. But, you know, my son grew up with Mr. Rogers. And I just always thought of him as, you know, Trolley and, you know, just the whole nine
yards.
Not
a person outside. Yeah. It's like a school teacher.
Right.
They don't have a life outside that classroom, right?
Exactly, exactly.
You didn't have a life outside that little room with the trains and the...
I think more people have said after they've watched the movie in the theater, it's not what I thought it would be. And I watched the movie trailers. So I did think it was going to go one direction. And I knew a little bit from the movie trailer that it was also going to be a
resolution. Yeah, notice how nice we're being and not giving it away.
Yeah.
What the difference is.
Right. But it wasn't what I thought. And I'm not saying it's a bad movie. It just wasn't what I thought. It's a much heavier message than what I thought it would be based on Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that your videos are going to be about the book and leading you.
They are bringing that book to life
mm-hmm.
for a moment in time.
Mm-hmm. For a moment in time.
You know. So everybody gets to have a Harry Potter book.
How fun is that?
It's fun. I enjoy doing them. And you can tell, I think part of the joy of doing them
mm-hmm.
is, you know, because I try to help people market and it's changed so much. And these are mm-hmm. affordable.
Mm-hmm.
This is an affordable thing for people with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it's a project. It gets done. It brings the book to life. And they love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's wonderful.
It's well, so it's fun. Just like you're actually at the birthing of each baby.
Yeah. So. And each one is it's completely different.
Different, right.
You know, some authors write some of the texts that I use and they do a really great job. Some send me a bunch of stuff and I have to kind of glean from it and put a story together.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, everybody's really loved them because... to go out and buy the equipment... license the music, figure out the clips,
mm-hmm.
write the text, build a sales message because that's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot for people to do that.
You know,
so,
what I'm
and
thinking,
for me it's fairly simple just because I've been doing this for so long.
To me it's like you're the surgeon. You know, so somebody may come to you with appendicitis or, you know, some condition that needs surgery.
Right.
And so by handing you the body, if you will, you can go in and do your magic and the baby survives, is born, is, you know, the adult ends up, you know, well and healthy. But you do your magic because that's what you do.
Right. Yeah. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it shows up in the video. And I mean, you know, like I said, I'm working on one that's a historical thing, which is very, very interesting. And we're taking stills of the ship, and you can now take still pictures and put movement in them.
Oh.
Like you can make the water move.
Wow.
So this is a very different one from the others that I've done, but it's really cool. It's really cool. And then, of course, the one, which was Reasonable Dragons. She won't care if I plug her book
mm-hmm.
on here.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Dragon. Flying through the darkness
mm-hmm.
as the praise for the book is popping up left
mm-hmm.
and right
mm-hmm.
and the golden rain shower, you know, the gold light. It's just good. That was really good. I was like, ooh, this is really good. And so much fun to find this stuff and put it together.
Right.
It's all these like cooperative components. I find this right video and the right slide and the right music and then put them all together and you have this two minute movie.
Well, I kind of think that, you know, again, my belief system always says that when you're in that right energy, you know, the right place at the right time, then everything flows to you. You know, you have the opportunity to put the pieces together and it makes this amazing picture.
It's funny because as you get older in life, you look back and you see things that you did that you didn't know why you were doing them at the time.
Yes.
Or why they were meaningful to you.
Right.
Meaningful to you at the time.
Right.
Until much later when you're doing something different.
And then you go, aha.
And I can remember in the 80s in particular, the movies that we had, music was a huge, huge component in it of like The Color Purple.
Mm-hmm.
Terms of Endearment.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of, there's tons of them.
Talked about the book, The Never-Ending
Story.
My goodness.
Music was huge because we didn't have CGI.
Right.
We had it, but not like we do now. So the visuals were a little bit less when you go back and watch those movies, but the music.
E.T.
Yeah, E.T., same thing. Pretty rudimentary when you look at it. And I was always fascinated by that. I knew that in the movie. I was like, how did they get this piece of music to make you feel the color purple? Or make you feel E.T. when he's flying through and the sky in the bicycle basket?
If you hear even the beginning of the sounds from those movies, you know what movie it is.
Yeah. And now I will share you. I saw a clip of Quincy Jones had done the score for The Color Purple, and they were matching the score to the movie. And the opening shot, for anybody who's ever seen it, is this immense field of purple coneflowers, which are these, they look like daisies. They're huge, but they're purple. And they are purple. It's a field of them. And so as the movie begins, the it fades in. And the girls are doing the, and it's this field of purple, and that music comes in, and I can, and Steven Spielberg had not seen this yet.
Yes. Okay.
And he's standing there, you know, with his hand around his chin and his glasses down on his nose, and he's watching the movie play as Quincy Jones is putting the music to it, and he took out a clean, he started crying. So that gives me chills that you can take these cooperative components, these pieces of media, and put them together.
Yes.
And do that to people. Just and yourself.
Yep, exactly.
You know? So just it really gets me when I just start talking about that.
Yeah.
But now I look back and remember that's why I didn't know all these years later I'd be doing video for, and this is all YouTube. I do YouTube videos on health and wellness. They all have music. Some of them are funny, some of them are not. And so this allows me to do something a little less dry.
It's a little less dry.
These trailers are not dry at all. They're
fun.
It is
so creative. Yeah, I mean, it truly is. And I think, you know, having that understanding of the music linked to the story, that cements
it. And timing
it. Yeah, it cements it, though. It really does make it come alive.
Yeah.
And there's certain movies that will always, The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
You know, there will always be certain songs, and you'll go, oh, I remember not only watching the movie, but how old I was, where I watched it for the first time. All of those memories get pulled in together.
Yeah.
So somebody using your services with these videos is going to capture an audience that they didn't even know they could capture,
right. Exactly.
Which is what I think is so cool.
Yep.
Really and truly. Yep. All right, well, our hour is almost over. Let people know how to get hold of you.
Okay, so the best way to get hold of me is to email me at chrisgibsonlive@gmail.com. That's the best way. chrisgibsonlive.com is the website for me. And you can get me there. There's a contact me thing. But just emailing me at chrisgibsonlive@gmail.com is the easiest way
If somebody's listening and goes, I need one of those videos, they should just send you a message?
Put video trailer in the subject line.
Okay.
Just put video trailer and I'll see it. I read all the emails, so it won't get missed.
Okay. Well, I love having you as my guest. I know we'll, you know, have you on as a regular because I want to promote these videos. When I saw those two, I knew, you know, from a marketing point of view, that
the power
is...
They're powerful.
It is
they
incredibly
are
powerful.
Powerful. Yeah, powerful.
It really and truly is. And I think you could lead people into what would work best for them, given whatever their service is, their product is, or if they have that book that they really and truly believe in and want to see reach as many people as possible. This would be a way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone that's listening, I hope you do contact Chris. Let him guide you and help you become as successful as you possibly can be. In the meantime, please send people to synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are archived there. Chris has a prior show that you can listen to, and there's probably almost 7 pages of shows over the last year and 3 or 4 months now. On my website, there will be a link into Boomers. Again, I want to mention how important it is to be healthy because the rest of your life won't mean as much to you if you don't have your physical wellness working for you as well. I hope everyone out there is having a wonderful holiday season, and we'll have the merriest of Christmases in a few weeks. Thank you for joining me so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.